Good morning, church. Good morning. Come on in. Have a seat. It's great to see you this morning. I just want to say welcome. I've missed you guys. Crystal and I were not with you the last two Sundays. We were traveling, celebrating our 20th anniversary, and we're glad to be back with you today. So it's great to see all your smiling faces. Just a few things as we get started. First of all, we have a real special Sunday this week, as you're going to see and hear all about. We've got some amazing visitors with us that are going to lead us in worship and share about some awesome ministry opportunities. And right after service, we also are going to have a potluck downstairs. So we hope that you'll stick around and join us for that. They get to stick around for a little bit. They got to head off to a prayer meeting that they've got, but they're going to be with us for a little while too. So we hope you'll take the opportunity to visit and be together today. If you are planning to do the Operation Christmas Child boxes, if you haven't picked up a box, we've still got a few left back there. If you picked them up, you're working on packing those. This is the week to return those, so make sure that by next Sunday you're bringing those boxes back. So do your shopping for those this week. We also have some new directories out in the foyer, so if you need to know how to get a hold of people in the church, pick one of those up. Those are updated. One thing not in your bulletin is, guys, circle the Saturday after Thanksgiving. There is going to be a men's breakfast that morning, the 26th, out at Water Mountain Restaurant, that we'd love to have you here for. And then the last thing I want to mention is just something about next Sunday. As we continue this process of launching our new ministry teams, we've talked about wanting opportunities to share with you how you can get involved. And one of the ideas that has come up was this idea of a ministry fair. And I just want to say I love that idea, and also I'm just not quite ready to do that. We've got some stuff we've got to nail down. We've got to get some leaders in place. And some figuring out our new deacons and some things before we are ready to do a full-on fair. But please be with us next Sunday. We are going to be sharing in service about ways that you can get involved in ministries, the things that God's calling us to do here. And so we're going to have some more details for you. And things like a full-on ministry fair are still to come. We're working on it. Give me some time. We'll get there. But we're excited about that. So that's enough for me. We got a lot of stuff going on this morning, and I want to introduce Doug Holcomb and his team from Salem for Refugees. They're going to come on up, and they're going to lead us in worship, and he'll get to share a little bit more about their ministry.
This is Paul, and I'm Tom, pastor here, and I'm going to interview him. So if you just kind of want to start playing something, that probably would be ill-advised.
I'll take this.
So on the front of your bulletin, there's a couple of questions, and this is how to get to know our missionaries. So I do want to thank praise team. Thank you, Doug, and we're going to be praying for Doug. His voice is struggling a little bit, and so praying for him and Adela. And there at the end, when she was praying in Swahili and he was praying some in English, and there is other languages going on behind me, it's just great that God, in some amazing way, hears all those languages and understands just the praise that's offered to him. Now, Paul, this is not on the notes, but I do understand that you would have been able to sing a few more of those languages than I did. Urdu?
A bit, but mainly
Farsi?
Farsi.
Okay, so Paul is working with Salem for Refugees, and he does some translating. Maybe medical translating, some offices and stuff, and helping people.
I don't do much of that medical stuff, because that is a lot of the parts of the body, a lot of those things in there I don't have the vocabulary for. But general conversation, yes.
I've been in doctor appointments where I left not knowing what they were talking about, so maybe it's fine. So questions on the front of your bulletin. We're just going to run through these, just to get to know them. Where did you and Marie meet?
The short answer is Whittier, California. I was going to Biala, and she came home from a furlough in Pakistan, from Pakistan as a missionary, and we met there.
So Marie was an MK?
She was an MK and then returned as a missionary for 8 years before we got married.
Oh, wow. So how long have you been married?
32 years.
32
years. And I got that one right.
Well, nobody here to dispute that, because Marie is at home, and she wasn't feeling well enough to join him today, but Paul and Marie are a couple, have been married 32 years. And what years did you actually attend this church?
1977 through 83. And so I was talking with the Schmidts. Their kids were in the youth group that I led here.
So you were actually a youth pastor here for 5-6 years?
Yes.
Okay.
And well, no, just 2 years.
2 years. I'm not good at math. So.
Well, but we were here as a family during 6 years.
You were here for 6 years, youth pastor for those time. Okay, how long have you been serving as missionaries?
31 years.
And when did you live in Pakistan and for how long?
Yeah, that's a complicated question for us because we live sometimes there, 6 years back in the States, and then, but overall it was 14 years in Pakistan we served.
And you've been in Salem now for how long?
6 years.
And one question is, what's your ministry now in Salem? Because it's got to look pretty different from what it was in Pakistan, maybe. Maybe you're doing some of the same things. What are you doing now?
Doug is my boss. So he and his wife started up Salem for Refugees, along with a great number of other people in Salem. And I worked under Doug when he was there, and now they have moved to more of a ministry other than a resettlement portion. And so I shifted with Doug to ministering to refugees in Salem. And that there is tons of ways of serving people through the ministry of the refugee ministry.
And if you had a day entirely to yourself, not that that ever happens, but what would you do?
Marie, pre-heart attack and stroke, she would have loved to read. I would have, in my flesh, what I would normally do is watch football all day. But my wife reminds me that's not the most spiritual thing to do with your whole day. I like to garden. I do like watching basketball, football. I do enjoy reading the Bible.
You have to put that in.
No, I did not. It is a true delight.
It's genuine.
It's genuine. The real thing.
Your favorite place to vacation in Oregon?
The Oregon coast.
North, central, south, where?
Lincoln City. We almost yearly go to a place across from Moe's down there that, I forgot what it's called, hotel right across the street from Moe's. We get the third floor, the jacuzzi, looking out at the beach.
We could do that here, maybe in the balcony, jacuzzi or something. So, your favorite book of the Bible, both you and maybe you have an answer for Marie, too.
Marie would for sure be the book of Psalms. Wherever I am, I get into.
And the last one on our question here is like, what's one answer to prayer that you've experienced lately that has reaffirmed the love of God for you as Paul, and maybe for you as a couple, for Marie?
This isn't an immediate one, but several years back when Marie had her cardiac arrest and was a sliver away from passing away, this group over here was great in praying for her when she was in a coma, and I don't know, hundreds of thousands of other people praying, and to see that God gave her life. And I was thinking, God, are you going to teach me through taking away? But God gave me my wife, and that was a assurance of his kind hand for us.
I'm going to lead us in word of prayer, and then Paul's going to go ahead, and on the inside of your bulletin, he's going to talk a little bit more about how God has led them through the years, and hoping that it'll be encouraging to you as well as God leads us all. Father, I thank you for Paul and Marie. Thank you that they've had such a long association with our church. Thank you that we get to support them as missionaries, and Lord, as you've taken them different places, they've followed you around the world. They have always looked to you for your leading. We thank you, Lord, that they are ready servants of yours for the sake of others. We thank you for their nearness to us right now, their work with Salem for Refugees, and we pray that you'll just strengthen him as he shares from his heart with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to be with you again after several years. This message is going to be snippets or major experiences of my journey with the Lord. I grew up in a Christian family. On both sides of my family, there's missionaries on my mom's side, missionaries on my dad's side. So missions was not foreign to me, to our family. However, being in a Christian family doesn't make you either a Christian or one who loves the Lord wholeheartedly. As a teenager, I looked good as a kid. Kids thought, oh, Paul's a good kid. But down deep, I knew that there was some serious things that needed to go on in my heart. And the first event that you see in your outline here is establishing who's Lord, who's boss. My sophomore year of high school, I had the kind of trip of being on the varsity. So this, instead of waiting till junior year, I and another guy joined the varsity team, which made me feel, man, I've arrived. And I'm on track for reaching my goals for being the top scorer of Mariposa High School. I had an interest in a particular cheerleader and wanted to ask her out, but I graduated from the high school being voted the shyest boy in the senior class. So those two didn't work real great. But during a particular week, we had an evangelist that came to our church and challenged us day after day, do you know the Lord? And it's like, am I sure? And Thursday of that week, I asked this girl to come to church. She crushed me by saying, I'm busy. I found out later that she went with some buddies of mine skiing, so what kind of busy was she? That crushed me and left me looking at, Paul, what's really happening down deep in your heart? And that evangelist question, do you know the Lord? It's like, what evidence is it that I really know Jesus? I didn't want to go to hell. I did not want Jesus to come at that time. I didn't want him to catch me where I was in my mind. I knew things were not good with the Lord. Saturday of that week, I got down on my knees and said, Lord, if I don't know you before, I commit myself. I want to go to heaven. The next day, I went forward in church, and the Lord helped cement in my soul since that point, do I know Jesus? Donate. That settled the question. Jesus became King, Master of my heart. The question is, has he become master of your heart? Is he Lord? Does he call the shots? The second set of event was responding to the call of God to missions. I had an uncle who was a missionary in Pakistan, served with Marie's parents. He came back and he challenged the young people to consider missions to Muslim people. The people of the world who were not being reached, others were gone. There was more missionaries going to Alaska than all the Muslim world at that time. I prayed and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? For about 3 weeks. And then my sister was playing the song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And it goes through each part our life, our moments, our days, our hands, our feet, our voice, our lips, our silver, our gold, our intellect, our will, our heart, our love, everything we are, here I am, God. And the Lord put it in my heart, I want you to be in missions to Muslim people. The Lord called me to be a missionary. The hard thing was, the senior year, you were supposed to, at the beginning of the year, tell your classmates, what are you going to do with your life when you grow up? It was hard saying, I'm going to be a missionary. What? But God called me to do that. What has the Lord called you to do? What has he moved you and put in your heart to do? The third major event is being steadfast in the calling, or confirming in my calling. Man, as a 17-year-old, the Lord led me into missions, went to Bible school, and then eventually went on a short-term mission project and came back from that saying, I don't see myself being any one of these missionaries. Lord, is missions for me? And the Lord worked in my heart and said, Paul, there's others who could be pastors, youth pastors, counselors, but I have gifted you specially for cross-cultural work. That short-term mission project, if you wonder, are they beneficial sometimes? It was that short-term that the Lord confirmed and settled in my heart, I want you to be in missions. Stop looking around at other things. What has the Lord put in your heart that you need to stop looking around at other options? And say, Lord, this is my calling. Keep me firm to it. Those of you who are married, one of those callings should be love your wife as Christ loved the church. Submit to your husband. Congregation, the Bible teaches you to submit to the leadership of your church. Pray for your leaders. God has called us to do things, and we need to be settled in them. The fourth event was conflict, leaving one ministry and joining another. In missions, missionaries are not perfect people. One of the major reasons missionaries return from the field is interpersonal conflict. I got married in 1990. Our son was born in Silverton Hospital over here, our oldest. And then a couple months later, we went to Pakistan, joined a ministry. Because of some educational issues, we had 6 years back in the States and then returned to Pakistan in 2004. Before going back in 2004, the director of the time of the ESL that we were a part of, English as a Second Language program, wrote us and said, can you help when you come, can you help us in the area of direction of the ministry and team building? Wow. Marie and I thought, whoa, what a great thing to be invited to do a particular ministry that we would love to do. Problem, they had a change of director, and the old director didn't tell the new director what the agenda was, that our assignment was. And then we pursued that assignment, and we found out eventually when I proposed, I think we need to move this direction, church planting among Afghans. They came down 2 feet and said, not possible among refugees in Islamabad. And we don't want you propagating your beliefs, your position, and creating division among the team. Whoa. My wife worked in the international ministry teaching up at the MK school, and she survived and did well. So to be accused of being divisive, maybe Paul would, that could be true, but not my wife. And our Marie's brother was our boss at that time, and he said, you don't have to stay in that ministry. You could switch, fulfill the calling of God to plant the church among Afghans and see it happen in Islamabad and Rawalpindi. You don't have to join that. You could join the Bible school, work with Afghans, and do each of those part-time. The Lord used that conflict to move us on from one ministry. We were in Pakistan. We didn't leave. We, by the grace of God, maintained relationship with that team, but we moved out. They weren't our boss. We weren't their boss. And God allowed us to move forward in ministry. How has God used conflict to shape the direction he wants you to go? Sometimes it is conflict. You need to stay put and endure. And then there's other times you need to move to something else. The fifth set of events was really related to that previous point, in that we were trying to establish a church planting work among the Afghans. In order to do that, somebody has to take the baton. You can't stay the center. How do you move that to somebody else? So there was one guy I was spending time with, and man, I argued, I tried to persuade, I spent time with, I even yelled at my good friend, encouraging him to take the baton. He didn't want it because of the persecution it would come to him and his family. So I finally woke up and said, you know, yelling is not getting me very far. I need to use another tactic. And so I talked to the Lord in prayer. But not the kind of prayer, Lord, your king, your master, lead my good friend. It was, oh, help him grow, help him get courage. Telling God what to do in prayer. And eventually the Lord said, why do you want your friend to take the baton? I responded, oh Lord, your word says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And he responded, that's right. I will build my church, not you. Why else, Paul, do you want him to take the baton? I want to have something to write my supporters. I want something that looks like something that they're investing is moving somewhere. And he responded, you know, I'm not about answering your prayer so you can prove to your supporters that you're doing something. Why else, Paul, do you want him to take the baton? So I can prove to that ministry I left, I was right, they were wrong. He responded, I'm not about making you prove that you're right and they're wrong. Why else, Paul? So I could gain a bit of fame, Lord? That I could... People write books about success in ministry. Can you give me a little success so I could write a book and become famous? Paul, you're trying to steal glory from me. You're trying to build your kingdom, not mine. The Lord opened up my heart, revealed there's some deep work, Paul, that you need to happen in your heart. It needs to be transformed. It needs to be restructured. Things need to be taken out, new stones put in, so that Jesus can shine through. What is it the Lord is revealing and showing about the condition of your heart that you need to restructure, rearrange, so that he gets the glory? The sixth event was changing, discovering a new path. 2016, I was loving what I was doing. I enjoyed teaching at the Bible school. It had become a full-time ministry. And Lord, I could retire doing this. Came home from almost that day thinking those, I was thinking those thoughts that day, came home, and our field leader said, the extension on your visa was not granted, yours and Marie's. We came home to the States a year later, got the second word that your extension wasn't given, and we needed to find a new field. That's when Doug and Anya were starting Salem for Refugees, and we shifted from serving in Pakistan to serving in Salem. I have a plaque in my office with a poster, and I have that letter of rejection in this framed thing. Up above are pictures of Afghans that we have ministered to, and down below there's two different messages. One is this tree and this path. The tree says branch out, the path says find a new path. God uses major events, his sovereign will, to change the direction we have. We need to be open to allowing change, the unexpected, his interruptions, in order to move us to the new path he has for us. The last thing is yielding my script of my life. Several years ago, Doug and I attend Salem Alliance, and this African-American came, and he gave a great message, and at the end of it said, what do you need to give to the Lord as a sacrifice? And I went forward and said, Lord, here is my script for my life. Here's how I would write my script, and I yield it to you. That was not easy. I wept over that, and it's like, in a lot of ways, I'm doing what I love to do, but at the hidden part of my heart, Paul has always wanted to be famous. And that wasn't in God's script for me. He had a different agenda. He's writing a different story. A story in which serving refugees and serving my wife.
Where do you need to yield, surrender, bow to the Lord's story, His script for your life? Let's pray. Lord, this was a testimony of mine. All of us have our stories. All of us have our journeys with you. Thank you that you're writing your amazing stories in our heart. May we yield to you. May we listen to your call. May we obey you and make you king and master. Use us so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.